Welcome in, everybody. Sydney and Tyler with you for another episode of Scars and Spikes. Tommy is going to be joining us a little bit late, having some internet issues. But yeah, Tyler, how's it going?
Good. Apparently the internet issue that I had last week has now carried over to Tommy. He is on the struggle bus as well. So it's not me this week, thankfully.
I'll need better internet.
Look, when it works, it's great. We've been doing this for over a year now, and now it's just like, I'm going to decide to have issues, whatever.
Right. Jack's saying in the chat, Tommy is busy watching McGill Berry highlights. So you can neither confirm or deny that. Although I don't know how many highlights he has just yet with the LA Galaxy, to be honest with you.
He's getting
not all his fault, but yeah, he's getting some time. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you along for the ride. Tyler, who do we have coming up tonight? For this episode,
I should say. We have none other than MLS 360 host herself, Kaylin Kyle. Obviously former Olympic star, former player of many, many NWSL teams, Canadian International.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, looking forward to having her on. I know Tommy is looking forward to tonight's show as well, because you have a rant coming up a little later, I hear. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you confirm that?
Yeah.
It sounds very unconvincing.
I'm super excited about it.
You'll know why once I get to it.
All right.
You came in and you're. It's better now. I think it was just the last vestiges of your internet getting fixed. But you came in looking like a piece of burnt toast.
Right.
Is that a Southern reference? I don't get it.
No, you just looked rough. You looked rough.
I am rough. I got a cavity taken care of today. I just woke up from a nap like 15 minutes ago. Let the painkillers kick in. Yeah, I'm all right.
We'll monitor your progress throughout the episode. So if Tommy kind of peters out during the end of the show, you'll know why. But guys, let's not waste any time. Let's talk about, kind of wrap up the conversation about TFC, because we're already halfway to the next match against Chicago FC or Chicago Fire FC at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday, Easter Sunday, by the way. But yeah, let's kind of just bury that once and for all, shall we? Any
Is
initial
this
thoughts?
Where Tommy has a rant?
Yes, this time for your rant, or are we waiting for that a little bit later?
Oh, he's warming up.
Let me stretch. I get to do this once a year. Just once. I get to complain about this one time a year. Atlanta United pays for some of the best players that they can get in the world. The team spends a lot of money. They do it. MLS keep scheduling games during international windows, and the teams that go get the best players suffer. And you guys spent your Saturday, and people listening, you let your Saturday nights sit down and watch that trash game. And I'm not blaming Atlanta United players, because I'm not, because any sport that you have where you replace 5-6 people in your starting lineup and have to put them in, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, you are not going to win a game. I'm sorry, you're not. Look what happened last year when almost, it's not fully similar, but look at the Open Cup game last year. You played a much inferior team than Toronto, and you lost that game too. It sucks. And, you know, thinking about it, like, I thought about when I was watching this the other, I watched it yesterday, so Tuesday, watching that game, it was like, jeez, like, I can't watch this. Like, this is just unwatchable. And then realizing, like, people that go out and spend money, like, you spend all your money to go travel and watch this when you have all these players, like, people don't know what games, like, some people don't look before they buy tickets to games and see, like, oh, it's international break. Atlanta's going to be missing all these players. It's going to be a bad game. They charge you the same amount of money to watch this product, right? And it, like, I did that once. I went to a game in Cincinnati and everybody was gone. Like everybody was gone, and
we remember.
I think it was no, not Cincinnati, that one. Oh yeah, that game. There was a Cincinnati one. I think it was like a 1-1 draw, and like Ronald Hernandez scored that game in the 69th minute. That's all my son ever talks about in that game. That's the only thing he remembers from that game is Ronald Hernandez in the 69th minute. However, you still spend the money, and like you're a growing league, right? You're growing. You went from streaming games on your website to ESPN to Apple. You're growing. You got Messi in here, and we're still playing around with this. Like, it's an inferior product when you're playing. And it's not just us. Like, even if we won, I'd still be complaining about this. Or even if we got a draw, like, you're trying to get the best product out there, and there's no other leagues out there that are doing this. And you know, you're not you're scheduling games for Man City, and Haaland's not there. You know, like that's not happening. And it's frustrating because you're spending, you know that you're ready to watch these games, and you know that it's not going to be good. And Tyler, bless your heart for saying that they were going to win this week. But I knew there was no chance here just for the fact that there's so many players out and that you got to put it in. You got to play, right? You have to play the game. But that many mixed matched of people coming in, it's near impossible.
So for most teams, I gotta say,
before you do that, I gotta say, I think you're rubbing off on us. I mean, I think we're rubbing off on Tyler.
I think you're about to steal exactly.
Bless your heart. What?
Yeah. Hey, that's my wife's favorite flag in the supporter section.
Bless your heart.
That's her favorite flag. Every time she sees it, like we went to a game once, and there was the bless your heart flag was not there. Like that's all she talked about the entire game was how that flag was there. And then when it's like a different color, she gets excited. So, but yes, bless your heart. You said they were going to win. I didn't bet the game because I didn't watch it. But if I did, I could have bet any amount of money because I knew there was no chance this team was winning. And again, it's not the players, but like, yeah, you want to see young players come in, right? You want to see Tyler Wolf come in and do well. You want to see Firmino come in, but they don't have a real good chance to come in and do something when it's a mixed match team. Cobb comes in, right? Every game Cobb has started, it's been, here, go out there and play this game. But don't worry. I mean, no starters are playing practically every time. Like, that's all we say about him is that, oh, he gets a chance to play, but sorry, there's no reinforcements for you. You're gonna have bad luck here, and it sucks because like in Europe, oh, you know when Garnacho was there for Manchester United, like they didn't just throw him into like a mixed match team. He came in when all the starters were there, right? And so we actually had talent around him to make him better too. No, you're throwing all these guys in that don't have a lot of time, normal starting time, with guys that also don't have normal starting time. And it's a bad product overall. And it's been like this, especially since COVID, since 2021, when they had to mash all the international things to catch up for a year and a half. And now you add Leagues Cup to this. So now the schedule's still compact, plus the international windows. It's a mess. I'm done. I'm sorry. I just need to say it. It's only one time. It's going to happen again. And I'm going to be angry. And I'm going to say we're going to lose. But I just needed to get it out. Thank you.
We'll replay this rant next year, 2025 international break.
Every opening international break.
Yeah, just replay it.
Right.
Just say, hit the clip.
Right.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you at all. I think Atlanta could have won this game. Toronto actually didn't play that great. They did enough to do the job, and they're playing at home. They have, you know, the Italians for, well, most of the game anyway. But, you know, you looked dysfunctional, which is to be expected when you're missing that many starters. You don't get that chemistry just from going to the training ground. It's not going to happen. You have to have actual minutes together in a competitive environment. And I do think this team is better prepared than they ever have been in the past 4 or 5 years to go away and get results, but you know, you still got to grind them out. You still have to make it happen. And I still contend that this was very much a winnable game, even after seeing it and sitting through the agony that was that match, because it wasn't fun. It wasn't pretty at all. It was very ugly. You just had no cohesiveness between your defense. And I'll also, this may be a hot take, but I actually think Atlanta's defense was the better third of the pitch. I know that goes against a 2-0 scoreline, but the midfield and the attack wasn't doing much of anything.
No, not at all.
So like, I just the whole thing wasn't pretty, but you can still do better, and you have to hope with this group, which is probably going to be the majority of the group whenever you have these international breaks and everything else, that they build up some chemistry, some cohesiveness, and they can at least put together a much more gelled product going forward, and they can steal some results on the road when you need them and at home, because it's not just away matches when you're going to have this. Bo,
if even only we with had, that, yeah, those things just trying to had there. Even with that, and we see some of your questions in the chat if you join us live. Even with that, I think maybe the scoreline flattered Atlanta just a little bit, because this could have easily been, I'll say, like 4-0 or something like that, because Gazan made some key saves throughout the night. I don't think you can really fault him. Yeah, you know, I saw some people on social media faulting him for their first goal. I don't know if you can really fault him either goal. I think maybe the defense was probably the best part of the night, but I'll say in some respects, maybe the best of the worst. Not to say it was terrible, but there are some mistakes in the back that led to those goals. I think the first goal, and not to put it on Cobb, unfortunately, because he's still a young player who got really tossed in because of lack of personnel. He kind of gets sucked in on that first goal. Maybe he gets caught in the position defending where he shouldn't have been. I think that's more youth and, you know, maybe a little bit lack of experience more than anything. So he'll learn from that. He'll bounce back from that, I'm sure. And then, yeah, the second goal, maybe more of the same, a little defensive misplacement, and it's 2-0. I thought they would come out, make a few more adjustments at the break, and come out of the locker room and really push for that second, really push for that equalizing goal. I thought it was a good testament to them to keep it 1-0 at the break. Obviously, you're still trailing, but you keep it manageable. You keep the lead manageable. Of course, they went down 2-0, and you know, I wasn't really convinced that the attack would really do too much to get them back into the game, unfortunately. So that 2-0 could have just as easily been 4-0. One thing I do fault Pineda for, and we asked him about it, it was asked of him in the post-match press conference, why did he start Tyler Wolfe over Sean De Silva? Tommy, you're bursting out of your skin. So I'm interested in your thoughts. Are you going to get a rant part two here or what?
No, but that's what I said before we saw the lineups, right? I think my name when I joined the thing was, where is Silva?
Yeah.
Where? You got so much not busy going for Spider-Man, you.
Okay, Tommy. Right. He was busy. He had a job to do.
Have you ever seen Spider-Man and Sean De Silva in the same room at the same time?
I didn't see Spider-Man either out there. Well, I didn't see anyone. All these guys are missing. Everybody. You want a chance to win? Start your starters, the ones that you have available. Don't short yourself even more unless there's an injury, which I don't think they said there was. It was an option. It was just coach's, you know, choice to put him in. Why? Why? You're already so shorthanded. I like Tyler Wolfe. I think he's a fantastic sub. Mascara, same thing. But you're short everybody in the world. Why not start at least one of your other guys that has played almost all your minutes that could at least create chances for you?
Here's one thing I want to call Pineda out on, and not in the mad way, not in the ranty way, but he said that Wolfe had a great, you know, great training. I mean, training is one thing. Training is okay. It's okay if you have great training, but that doesn't translate to on the pitch performance. And I'm not saying Tyler Wolfe is not a bad player. I think Pineda, to his credit, said that maybe the tactics based on how Bernardeschi was going to be lined up by John Herdman kind of went into why Wolfe started. And I can understand that, but you know, I think at the same time, like you were saying, Tommy, still start your best players, the players that you do have. So I think that Pineda got the selection wrong, as far as starting Wolf over Silva. Again, not anything against Tyler Wolf, but I don't know if this is the match that suited him. So that was the one thing that I think we all agreed, you know, it's kind of really puzzling going into this match.
Yeah. So I'll play devil's advocate because I agree with you. I do think, unless there was an extenuating circumstance, I just think you have to throw in Silva because he is, you knew your attack in this match was going to come from the wings. You knew that's what it was going to be. You know, we'll never know exactly what his thought process was, but you've got to start Silva. To play devil's advocate, I do understand you've got this kind of new and improved defense. You're going away. You know you're up against the ropes just by MLS being a difficult, you know, league to play in. You got Silva, and you're thinking, man, if that guy can come off the bench against tired legs, you can make something happen. That's my only thought process. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. And I don't know if that's true. I do think it's funny because, you know, there's so many wildly varying opinions about this match. And I'm just going to drop this in the chat real quick. If you don't know this, by the way, on scarvesandspikes.com, obviously match day, we have a ton of content. Just about every day we have content coming out. But we actually have a document that you can fill out on the website, easy, just at the end to say, you know, to rate the players for your own ratings. You know, we do the player rating videos most weeks on here, but you can also kind of jump in and get your thoughts in, and that actually comes out in an article. So I'm dropping the article in the chat, and I just think it's funny because you have so many wild varying opinions on kind of what people rated whoever. Just out of curiosity though, FotMob, not that we, you know, think that that's the Bible for ratings, who do you think had the highest rating?
Kazan. Either nope. Him or Lennon.
Nope. Oh wait. Okay, Lennon. Yes. Who do you think had the second high?
Kazan.
Nope.
Saba.
Nope. Nope. Saba was tied for the lowest.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Even with the half chance he had.
Yep.
Mm.
He was tied with Tiare for the lowest.
Huh.
Muyumba was the next highest. I was just
going to say Muyumba. Interesting. Interesting.
Brad had a 6.7.
Yeah. I think, again, Brad kept him in it, really. Yeah. And again, like I said, the score like maybe flatters Elena for that reason. So,
but I get more mad though. Like, what you're saying, Tyler? Like, I'm more upset because you said it was a winnable game, right? We should have 3 points.
Too, by the way, I'll just throw that out there. Go ahead.
We should have 3 points. We should be celebrating. We should be having a Wednesday, but now we're having a weeping Wednesday. That's what we're have. We're on a weeping Wednesday because we did this again. Like I know this is MLS and this is what we have, but I'm still gonna yell about it one time a year, and people can yell at me or agree or be or agree with me. And then but you hear other things like City. You said, you know, you think Giakoumakis, you know, could win the Golden Boot, but you know, but then you added right after that, but he's gonna be missing a bunch of games. And that's going to hurt him, right? And then you hear Garth Lagerwey talk about, I know.
Yeah.
Then you hear Garth Lagerwey talk about, oh, well, we've got League's Cup, but we're going to be missing some of our best players in that. It's like you've got all these things and you're just going to get hurt because you've got some of your best players going and it sucks. Why do we have to sign good players?
I know.
Why can't we?
We should sign bad players.
You know, like your interview processes, you know, Garth Lagerwey, you know, he talks about everything you need. You need to play in two leagues and have success in these, you know, success in leagues. Well, how do you rank in your country? Do you think they'd call you up?
Right.
Do you think you could convince them not to call you up maybe for one of the games?
Yeah. Well,
I'm done with that game. We could stop talking about that game if you guys are cool with it.
Okay. No. Yeah, we can.
When's the next game where all our players are gone?
I don't know.
Well, there's an article on scarvesandspikes.com.
There is an article.
There is. Great job breaking down like availabilities, future availabilities, or pending unavailabilities. But real quick before we move on, USL maybe making a move into not North Georgia, but northern part of Atlanta Metro potentially a USL championship team returning to Atlanta, where LA United 2 was once USL championship before dropping, of course, the MLS Next Pro. And also, guys, this is interesting, a USL Super League team potentially coming to the city of Roswell. A lot of talk about maybe NWSL coming to Atlanta through the Atlanta United ownership group, AMB, Arthur Blake and his crew. But maybe Super League beats them to the punch for a top flight women's team. I think it's very interesting. I think that maybe the market can support both. It's big enough to support both. Well, I should say support USL Championship at the very least. USL Super League will be kind of like the only top flight women's team in Metro Atlanta. If this moves forward, and we have more details on scarfsandspikes.com, if this moves forward, I think whoever owns these teams, I think they'd be doing themselves a massive disservice if they don't name the women's team the Atlanta Beat. A massive disservice.
If they can.
If they can, exactly. And I don't know if the copyright is still held by the original ownership group or a whole new company of some sort, but at least make a try for it and push for those rights if you can't get it readily. But yeah, that could be up in the air. That could be coming. City of Roswell and the USL have exclusive negotiating rights until December 31st. They can expand or extend that if they don't come to an agreement by then. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, Atlanta continues to be a soccer community. And you know, if they're targeting 2026, that's when the World Cup is here and all of that. So yeah, I think Atlanta United and the USL Championship team, independent USL Championship team, can't coexist. I mean, this will be different than Atlanta United too, but I think the two can coexist. I think certainly a women's team, a top flight women's team, can exist here in Metro Atlanta.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out real quick to soccer down here. Our guys, John Nelson, Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz, Jarrett Smith. All of them. I'll just name them all. Off. Yeah. But no, they had some more information this morning. And forgive me because I cannot remember his name, but from the economic and like development side of Roswell this morning, they had some more details. So 10,000 seat soccer specific stadium, primarily focused on the women's side though, which is really cool. And I want to, you know, I want to ask Kaylin about this when she gets on in a little bit, just to kind of get her thoughts on it, having played for so long. But 10,000 seat soccer specific stadium, expandable to 15,000, which is awesome. And you know, there's still trying to decide exactly where it's going to be. Like I see some stuff in the chat, Dan saying, I suspect it'll be a failure if they don't get a site close to MARTA. I think the nearest MARTA station is like 4 miles from Roswell. But one of the things we talked about this morning was, they're going to be working on the infrastructure because they understand that that's traffic. I mean, the whole city's traffic haven.
Right.
But for an evening match, that's a tough go. That's a tough go for anybody outside of Roswell. So, no, but it's an exciting time. And yeah, I think 100%, like I put it out on Twitter this morning on Scarves and Spikes, but like bring all the soccer. You already got US headquarters coming here soon, breaking ground on it. You've got now the potential for a top flight, you know, it's new, but a top flight women's team coming in, a USL championship team coming in. Like there's lots to be excited about. And just, I hope all of it gets the same support that Atlanta United has gotten.
There can't be like schisms between Atlanta United and USL Championship. You know, they have to work hand in hand. I know they'll be different ownership groups, but it's for the greater good of the game. It's for the growth of the game. So yeah, I'm all for it. I hope it passes. I hope they come to an agreement to make this happen. And more to come, I'm sure. But yeah, that's the initial report. Nothing official yet, but again, Roswell and the USL are negotiating. Site. I don't know what the equivalent of Roswell would be for Cincinnati, Tommy. It's like, what's a northern suburb in Cleveland? Like 20 minutes north of Cleveland.
What's you mean Cincinnati or Columbus? Because 20 minutes north.
Yeah, I'd say like an hour. Yeah, I would go in the lake.
Yeah.
And I can't swim, so I can't go right. visit that area. I'll be dead.
But yeah,
so much more. Yeah. Well, you know, real quick, it's interesting because in Cleveland, they've been doing a huge push for NWSL. Like, they're getting MLS Next Pro team here, I think, in the next couple of years. But the city has been heavily promoting the NWSL here a lot. Like, they're like, there's a Twitter handle, and they've been doing live streams of games and talking about it, and they've been doing watch parties in the area. So it's really cool here to kind of see how they're trying to push it. Like, they're negotiating, you know, building a stadium and all of that. No, I can't swim, Bo. I'm sorry. I could walk on frozen water. I could skate, but I can't do that.
I was about to feel like you were Jesus or something.
No, right. No. I could slide across it. But yeah, I mean, it's fun watching, like, here where soccer isn't, you know, huge, but like, you're seeing people get really excited for the NWSL. Like, they're doing commercials and everything like that in the area. I'm really trying to build that here.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys enjoy too.
One thing I want to add real quick too that was mentioned on Soccer Down Here this morning was that USL actually went to Roswell. They actually approached Roswell about this. It wasn't like, I mean, Roswell is going through, you know, trying to build a infrastructure for this kind of thing, but it was USL that actually went to them and said, hey, we would like to make this happen. The women's team and a USL championship team in a suburb of Atlanta, and y'all look like the right one. And I agree. I mean, I think you could pick anywhere really around Metro Atlanta, but I mean, Roswell is growing. It's in a good area. I mean, you handle the infrastructure issue, and I think you've got something special up there.
Yeah, agreed. And by the way, Justin Papadakis, deputy CEO of USL, in charge of real estate as well, is from Roswell. So another kind of twist to that. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you all know. Real quick, patreon.com/scarvesandspikes. Help support local soccer coverage here in the ATL. We appreciate you all already who have supported us as patrons. Thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate your generosity, and you know, it helps us do a lot of great things, helps us do watch parties, live streams, live podcast events elsewhere. So yes, patreon.com/scarvesandspikes, scarvesandspikes.com. Follow us on Instagram, Scarves and Spikes X, Threads, the whole nine yards.
I was trying to see. I was trying to figure out what kind of glass Tommy's drinking out of over here.
Yeah, what kind of glass are you drinking out of, Tommy? Pick the picture for Ghostbusters.
That's like my favorite movie franchise. And I saw it this weekend. It was amazing.
Last real quick thought before a very special guest comes on.
Yes.
April 6th. She Believes Cup. We are going to be at the Benz and at the Signia Hotel, like we were for the home opener for Atlanta United. We will be at the Nest on 4 Bar up on the fourth floor. Easy to find. It's right next to the Benz. You come out, and we're going to do a live show just after She Believes Cup ends and then before Atlanta United plays at 7:30. So come out, hang out with us, talk about the game or games, and get ready for Atlanta United.
Yeah, really excited for that. And more details to come on scarvesandspikes.com and on our social media channels. Well, we have a special guest. And before I say this, so we have had Kevin Egan. We've had Bradley Wright Phillips. We've had Sasha Clushton. So three of the four MLS 360 hosts. Make it four of the four
and MLS 360 hosts. Fashionably late. Why?
It's all right.
Not late at all, actually.
It's all right.
Catch them all.
What's going on?
Kaylin, Kyle, how are you?
I'm good. Okay, I'm just going to put a disclaimer on this. This isn't normal, but this is me multitasking. And the fact of the matter is, I was filling in for Jillian Sakovitz today for This Is MLS because she was out with the stomach flu.
Okay.
It ran a little bit late, so I'm doing everyone a favor here, but I'm actually doing a secret interview tomorrow in Kansas, so I needed my hair done, and it's the only time, so I'm so sorry. Hey, guys, I brought my lights and everything. So
oh, nice. There you go. I made
this studio just for you. I don't miss things.
Well, we appreciate it.
You now win the award for the best like background studio, whatever you want to call it, that we've ever had on this
show. I'm so sorry.
No, it's amazing.
And what's your stylist name?
She's actually new. She's just doing my extensions right now. So she's amazing. I've put her on the spot. I'm so sorry. But this is just, you know what happens when you multitask with two small boys is the only time.
Yeah.
So Harrison's holding down the fort back home. Uh-huh. The kids like, when you coming home, it's about time food. I'm like, I need my hair done because there's a really cool interview going to be dropping in a few weeks time that we're shooting tomorrow with Major League Soccer. So it'll be really, really cool.
By the way, Harrison Heath, your husband, briefly with Atlanta United, of course, we should mention that. So, hope he is doing well.
Can you put a disclaimer on, too? I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. One of my favorite MLS teams that he's played for, but also where we've lived. We were, right in Roswell. I love the Benz. I love the group. Arthur Blanc was amazing to us. It was honestly a really, really special time for us in Atlanta. So, we love the ATL and all you guys.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much for coming on. Definitely give Harrison our regards as well. Let's start it off with MLS from a wider lens. You work, for MLS 360, of course, so you get to watch all the matches with Kevin, Brad, and Sasha. Overall thoughts on what's going on in the league thus far? What are your overall thoughts?
I think the East, you look at the East, and it is one of the, I'll say, the most competitive I've seen it in a really long time. Like, I genuinely don't know who is going to make the playoffs in the best possible way. And I think we haven't seen that in the East in a really long time. I mean, you look top of the table to bottom of the table, and I think it truly could be anyone making the playoffs this year. With the West, it's more of like, the West, I don't really know what's going on in the West. Like, you have Seattle at the bottom, Minnesota at the top. Like, it's wild. It's like the wild, wild West over there. So, it's been amazing. There's been incredible goals. There's also one thing that I've, the biggest takeaway is the amount of big-time signings. So, when everyone's like, it's a retirement league. I mean, you guys have Thiago Almada, World Cup winner, the first active MLS Cup player that has played in the World Cup and is staying in Atlanta. Giakoumakis, that probably could play for any team in Europe right now. The guy is amazing, and he's making Atlanta his home. He's taking over the Joseph Martinez era. So, I just think what Major League Soccer has created, especially partnering with Apple TV, and just now we're in over 100 countries. I mean, before, my mom in Canada couldn't watch us. She was like, how can I illegally stream you? So I think it's really, really cool what Major League Soccer and Apple TV has done. And I know I work for them, so I know they pay my check at the end of the day. But honestly, what they've done, what they've created, the studio, the talent, and just the work that goes in behind the scenes, I'm honestly so grateful to be part of it.
I know anytime, I'm not, focused on a Lady United match. Maybe they play on Sunday like they are this weekend. I'll turn on 360 and watch you all. And it's a great resource where the league hasn't had it before. Just that whip around coverage that the league hasn't had in the past, kind of like the NFL does. So I know I love watching it. And I really, for one, I'm sure Tyler and Tommy agree, really appreciate the work you all do on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and I gotta give a shout out real quick. My wife, you're her favorite. You are her favorite.
I knew I liked you the best. It's for my outfits, isn't it? Or I'm trying to keep the guys on their toes.
It's that, and you know what did it last year was how much you would poke at Sasha about all kinds of stuff, but especially the mustache.
You know what's so funny about that? There was at one point they were like, do you guys even like each other? And me and Sasha are like super close now. So we were dying laughing. We're like, yeah, we like genuinely really like each other. But we're like, he's like my older brother. Like he's just like my older brother where we just get on really well. It's a really special relationship. And Bradley's the same. And then we were so lucky. I mean, you guys know Kev Egan. He has been the game changer for 360. His attitude, just passion for football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. And then his knowledge about the league is second to none. So it's been really, really cool. He keeps us on our toes. He shuts me and the guys up weekly and in the best possible way. So we've really created a really, really cool group. As I'm getting my hair straightened. Trust
so
me, it's
with this
be
question,
worth the interview tomorrow.
But with what you just said about, the East being so competitive, when you did the season predictions, you had Atlanta United as 7th.
Oh, I know.
One spot lower than what they finished last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you, because everyone else asked when those posted, is
bring it on.
Why? Yeah. Why?
I think my
Do you think we got worse?
No, I just think when I look at Atlanta United, you lose Miles Robinson. And I think in Major League Soccer, successful teams, you have a really good spine in your team. You have Brad Guzan, who's not aging backwards. He's aging forwards. So, you know, I didn't know, is he going to be your starting goalkeeper? Are they going to go with their second string goalkeeper? Are they going to bring someone new in? You lose Miles Robinson to Cincinnati, a mainstay player that it's not only what he does on the ball, but it's his vocal communication. It's his leadership as well. And it's someone that you can trust in transition. And I think that's, for me, when I look at Atlanta United, your biggest, weakest point is in transition, because you have so many attacking players, some of the best in Major League Soccer. We all know Major League Soccer, you win or lose games in transition, especially with the players that they're bringing in. So it makes me a little bit nervous. And also, you're a very different team without Thiago in the midfield, without Giakoumakis, and that's blatantly obvious, obviously, when they are gone or international break or one of those two players are injured. So my only really big nervous point with your team is if one of those two guys go down injured, like we saw Giakoumakis last season, I don't know if you are that number. It's not going to happen. I'm going to knock on wood. It's not going to happen. We need him for the league because he's such an amazing player. That's why I put you in seventh. I'd probably move you up a little bit higher now. I think maybe I had a glass of wine when I was doing it. So maybe I'd do like fourth or fifth.
We're moving up.
Well, yeah, we're moving up in the world. It's a fair point, though. We just got done ranting about the international breaks. So
I heard you guys. I was listening to you, and yeah,
We beat the dead horse. It is what it is.
Yeah,
wink three times if you agree with me.
So this is totally off topic from Atlanta United and MLS, but I think you might have heard some of it before, but. And you said you were in Roswell. So Roswell should be getting a women's team in the USL Super League, the new team, also a USL Championship team. What are your thoughts overall? Because you spent time here. What do you think about Atlanta having a women's team?
Love it. The more teams, the better. I just think Atlanta is such an incredible city. Now you have the hub of US soccer. You have an owner that truly believes in the growth of the game, not only for the men's game but the women's game, like genuinely passionate about it. And even when we lived there, like the love that people have for soccer there is truly remarkable. You have a venue for 2026, like it just makes sense. And it makes sense, like, yeah, there are different leagues, but it grows the game in general. It pushes other leagues to be better. It pushes, you know, I mean, Atlanta is one of the best Major League Soccer teams in terms of infrastructure. I mean, one of the coolest stadiums in the league. The training ground's absolutely phenomenal. I'd obviously gone there and checked it out when Harrison played there, but I just think it's second to none. So if you can continue to keep expanding that and growing that and giving more players an opportunity to one day maybe play in the MLS if they get seen in the USL or a women's team, you know, not only into inspire, you know, players to play professional, but semi-professional or even on the women's team to be, you know, give them that hope of one day I could be the next Alex Morgan. I can be the next Carly Lloyd or Christine Sinclair. I just think it's awesome. And I think it just grows the game in the best way possible.
Really quick, are you doing anything for She Believes Cup?
I'm not. I am solely MLS, baby. I do, you know, obviously, women's soccer, I hold near and dear to my heart, and I still watch it. I watch the NWSL. I watch, you know, former players that I played with that are commentating now for it, like Leanne Sanderson from England. And, I love seeing the game grow. I just saw that Sophia Smith is now one of the highest paid soccer players for the Portland Thorns. Yep. Karina LeBlanc, my former goalkeeper, is the GM there. So I'm just like, yes, I'm liking, I'm retweeting, I'm sharing. I'm like, whatever you can to continue to keep growing this women's game, like, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you this, though. Of course, the Super League is Division One as well, like the NWSL. So you have those two leagues kind of going after different markets. What will that mean for the women's game, especially with 2026 coming up in the World Cup and 2027 as well, with possibly the Women's World Cup being co-hosted by the U.S. and Canada?
Yeah, I think it only, like I said, it only grows the game to be better. I think it pushes leagues to be better. I think it pushes leagues to, you know, get better infrastructure if they don't have it. I was really lucky that I played with some phenomenal teams in the NWSL, so I was a little bit spoiled in that aspect. You know, I played for Portland, I played for Orlando, I played for Seattle, and I played for owners that genuinely cared about, you know, the women's game and giving them proper stadiums and training grounds. So I think, you know, all teams is a good thing. And I think it pushes, you know, more players to become pros and give them that platform and whatever league they choose to play in. And I think it's a positive all around.
Yeah. So yeah, I look forward to seeing what that looks like, especially for the Super League. You know, it'd be the new league on the block. So looking forward to seeing what its growth entails here the next few years. You kind of mentioned it earlier, but MLS 360, this is your second year. Of course, Liam was hosting last year. Now Kevin is hosting as Liam kind of shifts to main studio work and then his NHL duties. What's that been like for you over this past year plus of doing MLS 360? Like I said, you already hit on it before, but what's it been like for you as a former player and, yeah, I, as a fan of MLS, I'm sure.
Well, I've been a fan of MLS since I started playing. I mean, I played for the Vancouver Whitecaps organization, so I've always loved Major League Soccer. So I remember when I was interviewing for the job, they were like, why MLS? And I'm like, because I see where the league's going. Like, Don Garber's done such a good job in growing the league and, you know, implementing structures where it's soccer-specific stadiums. So I just think it's only going to get bigger and better. And then when I heard Apple was coming on board, I'm like, it's a no-brainer. It's like one of the biggest organizations in the world. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, this has me, my name all over it. And then I also love being a female analyst. I can host, I can sideline report, I can do sit-down interviews where, you know, and I was a former player, so I get both sides of it. And then I work with really cool people, you know, the Matt Doyles, the Andrew Wiebes that might not have played, but are so knowledgeable about the league that they keep you honest. Like, I'll message them for like, what do you think of this? Just to see, okay, am I missing something because I am a player? If that makes sense. Whereas before, I'd get into heated battles with people on Twitter being like, well, you've never played the game before. Like, and in, like, I want to slap me when I look back at the tweets. Like, slap me across the face. So, yeah, I just think Apple's done such a good job in Major League Soccer with the talent that they brought in as well. It's I'm really lucky to be part of it.
Yeah. Sunday, there's only one game. It's Atlanta United against Chicago. Mm-hmm. How do you think this game's going to go?
If you guys don't win this with your players back, you're doing something wrong. You're getting beat in transition.
Reach it.
No. Reach it. I just think, I mean, you look at Atlanta United and you look at Chicago, and I've always been a big, I love Chicago because I want to see them do well. I love what the organization's done. I love, you know, they've changed the stadium. They've put in a great training ground. They're spending money. Hugo Kuypers has started to find his form a bit in Chicago. I think he needs more service players around him. But paper to paper, you guys have the better team. You should win this game. And then your next game, I think it's away, New York City FC. You should win that game considering their form already in the season. But as we know with Major League Soccer, anything freaking goes. So, I mean, you can get your hair done while doing a podcast. It's great.
I know. This is amazing.
And there's no wind in the bend, so there's right. Going to be no craziness that's going to happen where...
Don't even bring that up.
That was wild. That was wild.
Yeah, it was.
But it was funny because we actually had, we had Callum on last week, and we had to ask him about it. He was like, that's one of the craziest goals I've ever seen in MLS. Yeah. It was wild. So
I know. And then we had Weeby going on with the weather report. I'm like, Weeby, come on now. Do like,
favors. You know, weather balloons and everything else. So what's been, and it's early, but what's been your biggest surprise in MLS so far this season, just in general?
Ooh, I think the West, there's like a lot of surprises there. Philly, maybe the start to their season, but again, their big thing is if Julian Carranza is healthy, it's everything in Major League Soccer. If your big stars are not healthy, you tend to struggle in the league. So I feel like those would be maybe my biggest surprises. Seattle, bottom of the table in the West. No one saw that coming. I mean, we did This Is MLS Today. We shot the show, and I think all of us analysts had them in first or second right now, or Supporter Shield contenders. So, but again, it's injuries. Three of your DPs are injured. You're going to tend to struggle. So I'm just looking at standings right now as I sit here. Inter Miami, not a shock, is it? New York Red Bulls, maybe a pleasant surprise for most because you have Lewis Morgan that's been phenomenal. I knew this about him when Inter Miami, his big thing, can you stay healthy? Dante Van Zier, best game I've seen him play as the DP for New York Rebels. I was waiting for him to show up. And then you add Forsberg in the midfield. So I just think, you know, those maybe have been the biggest. Toronto, actually. I have to put my hand up for that. I think I had Toronto maybe bottom of the table. But I know John Herdman, so I should have known better. It's early, though. It's MLS. It's early.
Yeah. Yeah, we could be having a different conversation 6 months from now.
Exactly. So don't re-record, like, don't throw this back out on social
media. Right.
Okay? We won't pull out the receipts, we promise.
Atlanta fans already hate me, so I need to get them back loving me.
Hey,
yeah.
Well, you're in the right place. We'll be big headed.
Exactly.
You're in the right place.
Exactly. Real quick. I mean, what do you make of the job that John has done in Toronto? I mean, you played for him for several years at the national level. What do you make of what he's done in Toronto, considering where they were over the past couple of years?
I'm not shocked. And I should have known this better. Like, I'm not shocked because he did it with our Canadian women's team. He had 6 months before the Olympics to patch up the cracks, and we won bronze. We should have never been on that podium. Then he went to our Canadian men's team, and we're all like, that's never been done by a national team coach, going from a women's team to a men's team. And he had them finishing top of CONCACAF, qualifying for the first World Cup in 35 years. Like, they had a hard group, don't get me wrong, great first game of the tournament, struggled, but he is so intelligent, he puts so much work in, he's so hardworking, he's so driven, and he always gets the best out of his players. So I shouldn't have been shocked, and I had to text him the other day and apologize. It's like, John, he goes, no, don't worry, I got it laminated, it's hanging in my office at the training ground. I'm like, oh, he's like, you of all people. I'm like, no, I know.
Yeah, you can see, too, the Italians, Insigne, Bernardeschi, they seem a little more re-energized than they were in past years under Bob Bradley. I don't know if it was a system thing. That was the difference between when Bob was there and now with John there. But yeah, they seem re-energized, and you know, especially on Saturday when they beat Atlanta, you can see just evidence of that as well.
Yeah, he's just inspiring. He inspires people on and off the pitch. He's driven. He works hard, so it makes you want to work hard. You don't want to let him down. So like, I still text him all the time, even about like life things. Like, I know that sounds really weird, but he's just such a good human being. He's like my second dad.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds weird, but he is. No. He truthfully is. So.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know you got to run here in a second, but real quick, I mean, you're in New York City. Favorite place to eat, favorite spot to be in the city?
I'm a Jersey girl, all right? I don't mess around with New York. There's a lot of good Italian, so you can't go wrong with the bagel either in New York or New Jersey. But
oh, yeah.
I don't really have like a favorite restaurant yet. I've only been here a year, so you got to give me time.
Okay. We'll ask you the next time you come back on.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Okay, Lynn, I know you got to run, but really appreciate your time.
No, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, good luck for everything on MLS 360, and hopefully we'll have you back soon.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Let her know, Lynn. She did a good job. She did a good job.
It looks all right, right?
Thanks, Ellen. Take care. She's great. Really great interview.
I know that.
I tried to get my wife to come down and like work on my hair while we were doing this. I got the middle finger emoji from her, so that's not going to happen.
It's funny. Like, my wife, normally she'll be watching these live, but the way that our middle son's soccer practice has been, it's during our show on Wednesdays now. Mm. So, but she's going to die laughing, because that's what she likes about Caitlin. Personality is great. You know, she's fun. Yeah. And so you show up and literally in the chair, because she sent the message before. I gotta throw that out there. Sent the message before, like, oh, you know, I was late because I'm doing a hair appointment. And then I didn't realize, like, actively still going on. I think that's freaking hilarious. And it's awesome.
Well, we really appreciate you having her on. And like I said, that's now 4-for-4 for the MLS 360 crew. Yeah. finally completed the set. Finally completed the set.
Yeah.
We completed our Pokédex.
Yes. Before we go, I mean, before we move on.
Hey, we got a lot to go on.
Yeah. before we move on, Tommy, you did an interview with a friend of yours about Stian Gregersen. So maybe talk about that just a little bit.
Sure. You know, whenever an LA United player gets injured, I usually send him the article that says, you know, here's what happened. Is it realistic? You know, I think we saw 3 to 4 weeks after the surgery. They said that, you know, he would be back. And those questions, I have like, okay, 3 to 4 weeks. But what happens in 3 to 4 weeks? Is it that he's able to start, you know, going back to training? Is he fully back up and going? And those are the questions that I like to ask. And I thought it'd be good to have him on. And he was so nervous last night. He was changing his camera angle like 4 different times. He's like, you know, I don't know. He was down in his bar down there. But, you know, he said that, you know, it's going to take a little bit, right? Like, he might be able to come back and play in 4 weeks, but it's probably a substitution type thing where he's going to come in late, get a little bit of time here and there, and then, you know, fully up and going. I mean, they said it could take, you know, 10 to 12 weeks to fully be up and moving, like, you know, 100% back there. But, you know, that was the other thing. It was like, okay, well, when I hear meniscus, I'm usually thinking real bad things, right?
Yeah.
Out for a long time. And, you know, as long as he doesn't keep having these type of issues, because one of the things he brought up was Todd Gurley. If you know in the NFL, like, he was one of the best running backs coming in. You all should know a lot about Todd Gurley if you're, you know, a Georgia person, right?
Yep.
And he kept getting his, you know, meniscus shaved, you know, over and over. And finally, it was just like,
right,
he didn't have anything left to run on. And, you know, that's why you're just hoping that, you know, this is it and that he doesn't re-injure it. And we're going to have him back here about turf, because we've had some conversations over the years about turf, and he's going to do his a little bit more studying on, especially newer versions of it. And that'll be a good interview to talk about, because anytime you hear any injury about Atlanta United, the first thing you see on Twitter or in a Facebook comment is turf.
Well, I bet you're going to say we'll have him back on the next Atlanta United injury. It's like, no, we don't need that.
No, I'm not Tyler, where I'm going to go, oh, well, you know, we'll have him on. But knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
God forbid everything. Yakamakis or Steve Bridges can get hurt.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. But no, it's a larger discussion. No, it's a larger discussion. And by the way, go to Scars and Spikes YouTube channel to see the conversation between Tommy and Will. It's in the chat if you're watching live. Too. Yeah, links in the chat if you're watching live. But yeah, it's a good conversation, good interview. And yeah, hopefully have him back yet to talk about turf, because that's an issue. Mitch Purse from the national team tore ACL. So that's raised some more discussion about turf in soccer. So yeah, definitely check out the interview between Tommy and Will. I mean, it was informative. I learned a lot. I know, Tyler, you did as well. So
yeah, it was really good.
Really good chat.
Super
really good chat. Yes, indeed.
Ooh, real quick. Yes. I played a game in Miami while I was down there last week. Count the Inter Miami jerseys that you see.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think it was below? I counted. I put a little marker in there. Lower or higher than 25?
Higher. Much higher.
Lower.
Lower?
Lower than 15 or higher?
Wow.
Higher than 15.
Lower.
Lower than 15?
I saw 8.
You should have gone to Fort Lauderdale, though.
Nah, but that shouldn't matter.
Or you should have gone to, like, were you in South Beach at all?
I was, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have gone, like, downtown.
I went to South Beach, man. It was spring break. Police everywhere. But I will tell you that I ate like a champion. Like, there was so much good food, and like surprisingly a lot of Italian. I hung out with the Battered Herons. They were a fun time. But I will tell you that every bar that you go into, like, you like walk into this bar and you're like, okay, I'm just gonna grab a drink, and there's some girl dancing on a table. It's like every oh, here's a bar, not loud music, and then there's just girls dancing on stage. It's like, this is not Cleveland. This is not Atlanta. Like, this is just
Miami.
It's a completely different world. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I believe it. It is. South Beach, baby.
I got to throw this out there, because you're talking about, you know, you go to a different city and you start looking at the numbers of jerseys. We go to Orlando a lot. We have family down there. And every time I go, we always go to Disney or Disney Springs. And I always try to keep an eye out for jerseys. You know, the last 3 times I've been there, I have not seen a single person wearing an Orlando jersey, and I've seen a grand total of the past 3 times, a grand total of 6 people wearing Atlanta United jerseys in Orlando.
That's because it's a tourist town, Tyler. That's why.
No, it's because Atlanta's a big club.
Well, that too, but
period.
That too.
I saw one Charlotte.
Wow.
Get out there. Just one in our hotel.
Definitely a vacation. Definitely a vacation then.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Too expensive, though.
It's not cheap, though.
No, it was ridiculous. Like, we were like about 20 minutes from South Beach, where I was staying. It was a good time.
I've been in Miami. I got sunburn. Like 10 years. It's been
amazing. I went a couple of years ago for work, but we'll have to go back.
Let me take that back. I did go on a cruise out of there, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah. I mean, you're just stopping for the cruise.
Yeah.
Chicago.
No, Omar, I'm not counting all the people in my family wearing jerseys. It was all but us. I promise.
All right, now that that's straightened out.
Yeah,
Chicago.
Record straight.
Chicago.
Chicago.
The right wing Chicago. Is the East in this match.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
Atlantis. Atlanta. You should know me better. I'm not going to say anything good about the opposition.
I feel like Chicago, and Kalen mentioned it a few minutes ago, Chicago have been on a bit of a decent run of form. So they won that crazy game the other week. And then they drew New England. They went down 1-0 and came back to draw 1-1. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Flip-flopped that. They went up 1-0, and then Nacho Hill scored in stoppage time of the first half to draw 1-1. So just pulling up the stats for that. Oh, yeah, two shots on goal. So maybe New England will feel a little harsh, a little unlucky to not have come out of that with 3 points. But, yeah, Chicago have been off to a slow start. They've gained points over the last two matches. And they're, I feel like they're a bit of limbo. Their coach, Frank Klopas, is, I think this is like his third time as head coach of the team. He gets to keep hiring coaches. Rafael Vicky from Switzerland, they brought him in and fired him. Ezra Hendrickson, brought him in and they fired him. Frank Klopas has been serving as interim manager after their firings, and unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for them since he's been in. He got promoted to the permanent head coach at the end of 2024. Fortunately, the results haven't really been there as of yet. Of course, that crazy game they won and may have been flattering scoreline against New England, but yeah, I feel like this is a team that could finish outside of the playoffs again. I feel like Chicago just needs a clean reboot. Hopefully Kuypers will help. Hopefully he's back in form, or he's in form. Coming to MLS. Yeah. Hopefully for them. They'll be hoping he gets back in form for them. Shaqiri has been a very disappointing signing for them. Gutman is back. Hopefully we'll be back. Or not hopefully, but they'll hope he's back for Sunday. So it'll be a nice return for him to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Interested to see what the reaction will be. I'm sure it's going to be good for them.
They may to have some back. Play.
Yeah.
Which because Omar
they're kind of thin. That. Yeah, they're kind of thin in the back line. So that's one thing to keep an eye on for them. Injury concerns for Chicago. So maybe a little bit better, a little bit bruised, and looking to get a result on the road to really ignite their season, because right now it's just kind of been a slow roll for them. But again, just some players missing for them coming in. Maybe Goodman, like you said, Tyler gets forced into the lineup. But yeah, I feel like Chicago, their mindset will be, okay, we got to get back on the winning side. We got to get our season back on the right foot. You know, East is going to be very, very challenging. So they're going to come out at least with a point. And yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think, again, I go back to what I said. I think Atlanta's right wing. If you're Pineda and you are named Brooks Lennon or Saba Lobjanidze,
or Tyler Wolf.
Or Edwin Mosquera, you should be playing the lottery before this match.
Yeah.
Because they're injured. That, like, they have hardly any significant depth over there. I mean, right now, I see it in the chat, too. Jack saying they'll start, is it Jonathan Dean, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah, Jonathan Dean. Yeah, Gutman.
Is that a real name? Injured. Is that a creative player name? Jonathan Dean. I know.
to be fair, you know, it does sound like it.
He's from Macon, by the way.
Yeah. And he's played a grand total of 94 minutes this season against New England.
Did you say Macon?
I'm sure he'll have family in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
So I imagine he'll have family up in the Benz for Sunday's match.
Which, unfortunately, Zilf saying I'd like to see Mosquera start instead of Saba. I wouldn't be mad at that, actually. But yeah, no matter how you look at it, you have to pick on that side, and you're going to have your guys back. I hope I see multiple versions of the scenario where, whether it's whoever's playing left back, I say Caleb, whoever's there, or midfield, whoever's there, is pinging ball after ball after ball over to whoever's playing right wing and just letting them cook on that side, because it's going to be where everything happens at, I think. But yeah, I mean, I'll get off the right wing talk for a minute, right flank talk. I think you've got a opportunity. You missed your opportunity up in, oh no, Omar, what? What are you saying?
Well, finish your thought. We'll get to Omar in a second.
I'm sorry. It struck me. I was shook seeing what Omar just said. And we'll read it in a second. But no, I think you got your guys back. You are giving Tommy a heart attack. You got your guys back. And you just have to play your game, because you had your chance in Toronto. You really did. I'll contend this to the end of the earth. It was a winnable game. But you have to win all of your home games. So just get back on the right track. Get back on the right track. Because like Kalen said a minute ago, you go up to New York, well, they don't know what's going on. They're not even playing in their normal baseball stadium. They're playing in another one. So you have your opportunity up there. Go get 6 points out of the next two matches, because you can.
We have to address a comment in the chat from Omer, saying Shande Silva is turning into a disappointment. We should start seeing Derek Etienne Jr. Tommy, I'm interested in your thoughts on that. What's your opinion?
What? He's like third on the depth chart right now, right? We're just passing Tyler Wolf now? What? What?
How do you really feel?
If I walk away from whatever my mom's making on Sunday to turn this game on, and I see Etienne starting this game, Easter is canceled. What's the next holiday? Is it Labor Day or Memorial Day?
April Fool's Day, the next day, buddy.
April Fool's Day.
Definitely.
If the game was not April Fool's Day, then I would say start him.
That'd be a great April Fool's joke if we posted a lineup graphic with somebody other than Shande Silva in the starting lineup.
You canceled. Yes. Sorry, nephews. You're not getting your Easter baskets. Pineda ruined Easter. I'm sorry.
Well, look, Dan saying Omar's not wrong. Shande scored 3 in his first 3. 1 in 10 plus games since.
Well, he's not a forward. He's a winger.
I mean, he
can score. No, that's not to say he can't score. That's not to say he can't score, but that's not his primary role. His primary role is to create chances for your striker. So
you almost scored against Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they make it? Wasn't that where he made the crazy save? Was that him that made the second attempt that they ended up blocking? You know, there was that series. Was that him?
We'll have to look back. His primary job is to create. I mean, he isn't those for goal, but yeah, it's probably your job to create chances for your strikers. Now, let me ask you guys this. Speaking of, Giakoumakis presumably will be back, and unfortunately, Greece unable to qualify for Euros. So, you know, I'm sure that'll be weighing on him. Does he start, and then does Leash start? And congrats to Bartek and Poland for qualifying. Does Giakoumakis start, and does Leash start coming off travel from Europe? What do you guys think?
Hell yeah.
Think so.
You have the extra day. You have Sunday. So Everybody's supposed to be back by Friday.
Yeah. I'll say this too real quick with Giakoumakis. He came in as a substitute for extra time, maybe with an eye toward penalties in the first place. And ironically, he missed his penalty that was one of the deciding factors in Greece not qualifying. But so that's a case for him to be starting, you know. Not having played that much on Tuesday. And then, yeah, like you said, title the extra day, give some time to get their legs underneath them just a little bit and train with the team. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
I think they play. I think you pretty much have everybody back because, yeah, they've had time. And I still want to go back to one more thing on what Omar was saying, but also, I don't know that this is like a super secret fact or anything, but I haven't seen it thrown around much, but Chicago's never won in Atlanta at all. So if you're into that kind of thing,
the Tyler curse.
No, what are you talking about? Every time I knock on wood, it works.
Sorry, kids.
Is it really?
You don't get your basket because Tyler ruined Easter.
You didn't do it.
Chicago won 1-0.
You didn't do it last week.
Wait, what? I didn't knock on wood. Yeah, that's why we lost.
Exactly. Exactly. Conversely, real quick, I think it's been a while since Atlanta United won at their place. I think 2019 they won.
Probably 2019. I think that was also.
No, not 2019. It was 2018.
2019 was the year they got destroyed.
Yeah, they got crushed. 2018. I was at that match, 2018, by the way.
The crushed one was like on 4th of July, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. But yeah, 2018.
At night.
Yeah.
All right, so Shonda, real quick. This season, we talking about, you know, the argument of, yes, maybe not directly contributing to goals, but goal contributions in terms of assists, chances created, blah, blah, blah. He's got 0.55 expected goals on target. All right. Got 3 shots on target, 5 shots.
Not bad.
His expected assists is at 0.4, but 100% on his long ball accuracy, 7 chances created. And that's significant. The one thing that I would really like to see him kind of improve on and not always rely on his, you know, dribbly boy skills, which are great. To be fair, I think he does a great job dribbling into the box and making something happen is when he gets really exciting. But his crossing, he has 1 successful cross this season. So I think, you know, you add that to your repertoire, my fancy word of the day, or at least my fancy sounding word of the day, and just let him be a little more unpredictable on that left-hand side. And I think, I mean, you've got Giakoumakis in there that's going to find the ball. I think he'll be just fine up top. Even if it's not in goals, I think he's going to be up there with assists in some way, shape, or form come the end of the season. There.
Okay. We're not pressing the button to bring Derek in yet. We're not there. Omar, just calm down. Oh, see, look what you did, Omar.
You pissed Sydney him left. Off.
He left.
He's like, I'm done. No, I, you know, you have a depth chart for a reason. It's not a knock on anybody, but you have a depth chart for a reason. And yeah, I mean, I think you have Silva, and then you have a myriad of players that can play there. Tyler Wolf being one of them. Edwin Mosquera can play on both sides. Derek Itchens, he's going to have to work his way back into the lineup. It's just that simple. It's nothing against him at all. But right now, he's not going to be rated above them at this point.
Doesn't own it. Yep. If you're, I guess, $600,000 players playing for Atlanta United too, that doesn't bode well. I mean, granted, he could be
Eric Lopez.
Eric Lopez. I mean, he could be, still injuries, maybe a knock, but still just a massive disappointment for Atlanta United. I hope he gets it together. I really do.
We love you, Omar.
Yeah.
But not that take.
Not that one.
I appreciate you.
Yes.
Predictions. What are you guys thinking? I know Tyler's already going to say Atlanta's going to win.
Uh-huh. Like Kalen said, if we don't, we're doing something wrong. You got to win this game. 2-0.
2-0. So Abraham's going to be very important for this game. I assume he starts, right? So Abraham and Williams.
Yes.
Do you all agree on that?
Yes.
That's the key to me here. And this is a chance. I mean, you know, once Gregerson's back, he's coming in, right? But for him, we talked about this the past couple weeks. Abraham makes a decent penny too. And, you know, we were going to see what happened with Cobb and how he did. And he was okay. But for Brown, this is job security too, right? As the number three player here. And, you know, if things go south with him, you could go back to Cobb here and the next, you know, whatever you want to say, depending on, you know, the 3 to 6 week span of maybe of him returning to the lineup, right? He's got to do well. And, you know, we got to see him and Williams together and how they're going to do. But I'm hoping that they're able to get together soon because we've taken steps forward defensively, right? You know, we have been allowing a lot of goals. We're way less than where we were last season. We're scoring goals, maybe not as much as we've wanted. Mm. But I think that, you know, again, you just can't let a team get ahead, especially at the bends from there. So with that, I was actually, oh, Omar, no, 2-1. No, no, no.
2-0. 2-0.
I'm going to say 4. I'm going to say 4-0.
4-0. You changed it from 2-0.
Did I say that on,
you said 2-0.
Henry then? Well, I'm feeling confident. All right. It's okay. Easter. Pineda's going to leave every one of those players a basket. And it's going to say, go have them lay an egg out there. That's going to be the big 0. 4-0. I'm not going to tell you who scores, but Giakoumakis is going to be real pissed off after what happened this week. Real pissed off. And he's going to score some bangers.
I'm going to say 4-1. I'm going to say, well, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to say 3-1. I don't know if it'll be a clean sheet. I know the team has just been working really hard to get clean sheets. Yeah, I don't know if that will happen on Sunday. I think maybe they give up a goal, maybe to give them something to think about, maybe go up 2-0, allow a goal to give them something to think about, to make it 2-1. And then I do think they score a couple more to put out of reach. So I'm going to say 4-1. I'm not going to see who scores either. But yeah, I think they win. I think you have to win to kind of wash the taste of Toronto out of your mouth. But yeah, I'll say 4-1 going into what should be.
Wait, what? Hang on.
3-1. I'm sorry. 3-1. So you go. They should win 3-1 going to a match against NYCFC, who, even with them, you know, maybe not starting off the best way, still going to be challenging up there at what I think is City Field, with the Yankees playing. So yeah, I think it's 3-1 Atlanta. I think it will be. As always, let us know your predictions in our on social media. You know where to find us. But Tyler, you have a couple of quick things.
Yeah, no, just two quick things. So, really quick, repeating. Signia Hotel, Nest on 4 Bar. Come hang out with us. She Believes Cup is April 6th. It's a doubleheader. So if you're going to the game or if you're not going to the game, regardless, you come after Canada and Brazil wraps up, and come chill with us in the bar. We're going to do a live show. Going to get you guys ready for the Atlanta United game. So it'll be a full day of soccer. It'll be fun. Okay. Come hang with us. And the other thing, because I've seen it in the chat, and you know, now that the season has started back up, I haven't really mentioned them much, but the twos, I got to throw it out there. They had I don't want to say rough. That's a bad word to use. They lost 3-2 to Orlando in their opener. Wasn't a bad game. They actually dominated statistically, had a really, really good final 30 minutes, just couldn't quite get the equalizer. But they absolutely rolled over.
Beat the brakes off.
Yeah, Carolina Core, 4-0. Newcomers, Carolina Core, 4-0 this past weekend. And Javier Armas, the butter man himself, had a free kick. Yeah, and I see, yeah, Jack just posted it. That free kick was a banger. But, they just looked good. They looked strong. You know, you can come out with the excuses or whatever. Carolina Core played the Open Cup, but that's I can't listen to that, because you had two starters for Atlanta United too. They got home, got in bed at 4 a.m. from Toronto, got up, and then played in this match.
Matt Edwards, was one of them.
And Nick Camino. And I think Nick, I want to say, didn't Brendan travel? Did Brendan travel with the team? I think he did. Anyway, there was a handful.
Yeah.
So Carolina core, you can have your excuses, but no, Atlanta United 2 played a good game. They look solid. Go watch them. It's, if you're already paying for, you know, Apple TV, some of them are on Apple TV, but they're also on the website. So
YouTube.
Yeah. Go check
which
them out.
Which is free, by the way.
Yeah. Right. No excuses.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes. Atlanta United 2 had a howling good time. I'll say. Get it.
I like that.
Carolina core. Their mascot is the fox. Well, foxes still howl, yeah. But
by the way, yeah. Have you ever heard the noise a fox actually makes?
No.
I wasn't gonna do that.
Well, no. The fox said zero.
That. No, the fox said it sounds like a blood curdling scream from a child is what a fox sounds like. Go
You should look at what mooses make. Sound mooses make.
What sound do mooses make, Tommy? Moose?
I don't know. It's like it's like a weird sex noise. I don't know. It's weird. It's just look it up. Just Google moose noise.
Yeah, we'll go later.
If my picture shows up making noises, I apologize.
No, but shout out to the twos. They play Crown Legacy Thursday at 7:30. What's the Tucker teams and Noah's next pro already? So, be sure to watch out for that either YouTube or MLSXWorld.com or on MLS Season Pass. But I think that's it. Any other closing thoughts before we?
Do you know what music they're going to play in the locker room on Easter?
Enlighten me.
What do you think?
Hip hop.
Oh no.
Hip hop.
Dad joke right there.
Yeah.
Definitely a dad joke.
This is where we're at. It's kind of entertainment y'all come to see.
I have nothing to add to that.
Do you know dinosaurs don't celebrate Easter because they're extinct?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
This is where you hit the music.
Yeah, we're done. The music, we're done.
I just looked up Easter.
Noah Cobb is gonna start.
Debatable. We'll see.
Noah Cobb is gonna start.
We'll see.
Oh yeah. And shout out to the Unified team. I meant to shout them
out. Oh yes.
They are having their signing. I think it probably just wrapped up, but it was going on during the show. So
yeah, shout out to them. Always good to see the Unified team involved. Always good to see Brad, I think it's Tyler, the fellow ambassador involved with them. So great. Great work they do with Special Olympics, so hats off to them.
100%. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, guys, real quick, one more thing.
Yes.
Where do you think the team's going to eat breakfast before the game?
Waffle House.
Where, Tyler? Tommy?
IHOP.
Oh, my God. I'm actually kind of mad at myself. I just didn't think of that.
Do you get it? IHOP?
Uh-huh.
Yes, we get it.
You get it?
You're welcome.
Salute, everyone.
Happy Easter, everyone.
We're done. Happy Easter.